Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 19th. Really glad you've joined in and listening. My name is Todd Stiles. I'm one of the pastors at First Family. And the goal of the Extra Point Podcast on a regular basis is to bring some extra insight, further application, deeper observation to the text from which we preached on the previous Sunday. And today we're going to do exactly that. We looked last Sunday at killing cultural Christianity. It was somewhat of a topical message in the sense that it is a one-week standalone message designed to help us prepare for what begins this Sunday, which is 8 days, what we call Holy Week or Passion Week. And I wanted to bring a message really centered on biblical Christianity, bringing extreme and regular clarity to the gospel, the work of Jesus, who he is and what he's done. I do feel like that should be a regular thing within a church. And so we brought that this week in preparation for Passion Week and as a way to give a strong gospel call to anyone who has yet to trust Christ. And so in our culture, you know, there's just a lot of definitions of what it means to be a Christian. We went through those. And so if you were there, you remember that. I wanted to bring some extra insight into a phrase found in one of the texts that we looked at. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. In that passage, Jesus says very plainly, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." So he exposes the fact that there will be counterfeits throughout this time on earth, and there'll be false believers who won't be revealed till the last time or the last day of the judgment. But his next statement's quite interesting. He says, "Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." In other words, he's showing a contrast. Those who say, "Lord, Lord," and do lots of things, he mentions here, such as drive out demons in your name, prophesy in your name, do many miracles in your name, and yet at the end, it'll be discovered they really don't belong to Jesus. In contrast to those kinds of people, those counterfeits, Jesus said that only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's who is, and I'll use this in air quotes, that's who's in. So what does the phrase, "the will of my Father," refer to? We didn't address it Sunday just for lack of time, but I wanted to bring this out in this Extra Point Podcast because I think there is a very specific biblical answer that's overarching, it's categorical, and it really speaks to what the will of the Father is. It speaks to the one root action that's seen throughout the pages of Scripture as what it takes to become a Christian or to be saved. And John chapter 6, verse 40 would answer the question for us in the most succinct way. Listen to what here Jesus says about the will of the Father. He says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the will of the Father is for all those who see Jesus to believe in him. And in the most succinct fashion possible, the will of the Father, what you must, and I'll use this phrase, what you must do is to believe in Jesus Christ. And of course, here he says, those who see him will believe in him. That's God's will. And of course, we know not only was that true when Jesus was alive on the earth, but we know that now through the Holy Spirit and the gospel, the Holy Word, God opens the eyes of those who have, who aren't seeing. He opens their eyes to see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. In other words, they see Jesus. They see a Christ crucified and risen. So in every sense of the word, the will of the Father is to believe in Jesus. And this, of course, like I said, is overarching. It's categorical. It would involve several things, such as obedience, continued following and endurance and acceptance. You can use the word receiving. But I think the best word that's used throughout the Bible is this word believe. You know, Paul said to this jailer who in a chaotic moment asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul went straight to this word and in a very succinct and simple fashion just said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now, John not only mentions Jesus' own words here in chapter 6, verse 40 about what the will of the Father is, but listen to John's writings in his epistle in 1 John in verse 23, speaking of the same idea of believing and the will of God. Here's how he words it here. He said, 1 John 3:23, this is his command that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted you to hear this, that you may be wondering, well, both people in this verse in Matthew 7 did something. And Jesus is saying that one group who did something, they're not in. And the other group who did something, they're in. So what's the difference? And let's just again review here to make sure we're getting our hands around the proper subject here, the right contrast. There are those who prophesied in Christ's name, drove out demons in Christ's name. They did things in Christ's name. And yet he says, when you stand before me, I'll say to you, I have never known you. So though they did some things in Christ's name, they're not in. And yet there is this group, this one, who does the will of the Father, which we know from the New Testament categorically and overarchingly is believe. There's this one who does believe, and he's or she is in. So what is the difference? I think the difference comes down to two things. The group that does things in Christ's name, such as drive out demons, and those are sample items, by the way, prophesy, the root reason they do them is for themselves. In other words, they think they are doing something to earn favor. I'll call it this. They think they're doing a regenerative work. They're creating and manufacturing what's necessary to be approved by God and to be in right standing with their Maker. The other group, the other persons, they're doing what I call as a responsive work. They're seeing Jesus, and in response to him and what God is doing, they're believing. And I think that's the clearest, most fundamental difference between two people who, yes, both do things. Because the Bible here says, only the one who does the will of the Father. So I'm not backing away from the fact that there is an action. But this action's what I call a responsive action. It's not a regenerative action. And this is why works are not excluded when we talk about salvation. They are a response to God's work in Jesus for us. They're a response to God's work in us when he saves us. So works, and they're part of our journey. Paul would say in Philippians that God has ordained good works, that we should walk in them. Titus talks a good bit about doing good works, but none of those works regenerate us. They're not things that we do to earn something in front of God. They're not manufacturing or creating any kind of standing before God. Our works from the very beginning are only responsive works. And I would say to you, even believing is a responsive work. It's an action. It's something we do in response to God's work. And so salvation from start to finish is solely and wholly a work of God. And the minute we think that our works actually regenerate or create or manufacture or produce something that God will take notice of, then though we're doing them in Christ's name, and though they may be very biblical actions or they may be works that appear to have some type of spiritual, vitality or nature to them, they don't really amount to anything. They garner us nothing. But often, and this is a sad reality, many people don't realize that, and they won't realize that until the very last day, until the judgment day, when it's exposed that their works were looked at as a reason for them to be saved, as the reason for God to look upon them with his favor, as a regenerative action. And God takes no thought, he gives no credence to anything we do with that spirit, thinking we do it to gain his attention, to garner his favor, or to create some kind of standing on our own effort and merit. Instead, what God does is reveal to us Jesus, his Son, who he is and what he's done on the cross and in his resurrection for us. And then our response to that is believing. And once that believing occurs, God, of course, He saves, he converts, he justifies, he adopts. This is really the will of the Father, that all who see Jesus believe on him. And then the Bible says God will raise them up on the last day, meaning instead of the final judgment being depart from me, instead, here's the final word from God to those who put their faith solely in Jesus Christ. And yes, do works in response to his work, but know that that work has no manufacturing or creative or regenerative power. Here's God's final word to that person. Enter the joy of your Lord. Welcome to my presence. Enjoy the joy of the Lord forever. And so this is a beautiful truth that I find in Matthew 7 that we didn't cover it extensively Sunday morning, but I wanted to bring this to you to help deepen and solidify your faith in Jesus, and to help understand more of the word and to be able to answer accordingly to those who may ask. Some folks say, well, here's a verse that says there's something we do. And just say, yes, we do. We believe. That's the general categorical word for responding to Jesus when God reveals who he is and what he's done to you. But that's a responsive work, not a regenerative work. And that's the difference between the two types of Christianity. Cultural Christianity is always relying on regenerative works, things that they do, say, places they go, where they've been born, who they know. But biblical Christianity is always relying on responsive works. We see Jesus, we see God, we see what he's doing, what he's done, and we respond to that in faith and belief. That's really biblical Christianity. Respond to the gospel with these simple words. Yes, I believe. We take our stand on it and we cling to it and hold to it until the very end, only by God's power, of course. My prayer and hope is that every single listener has done that. And what I mean by that is they've seen the beauty and the glorious treasure of Christ, and they have believed on the only begotten Son of God, the name of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.